Boychuk. To the side of the net. Tavares waits, shoots, blocked. Now he scores! First one blocked. Tavares gets the first goal for the New York Islanders.
Islanders country, hello and welcome to the Isles Blog podcast. I'm Joe Bono. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Isles Blog and subscribe to the podcast via iTunes or listen at nyislesblog.com. He's known as the best in the business. If you've seen an iconic Islanders or hockey-related photo over the last 40 years, there's a good chance that Bruce Bennett took it. His new book is Hockey's Greatest Photos, the Bruce Bennett Collection, and he joins us now. Bruce, congrats on the book and thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
So, Bruce, why now for this book? After 40 years, 5,000-plus hockey games, why do you feel that this was the right time to pour your heart into a project of this size?
Well, I just kind of thought 40 years in, that's half a career. I've got another 40 years left in me. Seemed like a logical place. I don't know. I guess I had really been shopping the project around for the last 10 years. And finally came to an agreement with a company, the Hockey News, guys who I'm very comfortable with and have worked with for 40 years. And we were just in lockstep together in bringing this project forward.
And now, what was the process in selecting the 246 images that are featured in the book? What were some of the main considerations that you took to get from, I believe, 2 million plus, down to 246? Did you start that when the book got greenlit, or you had always kind of had this in your mind and the process was, on its way getting there even before the book was going to become a reality?
Well, I always had my favorites, and I had them on the side, let's say, in folders from one computer to another and backup drives. So I probably started with a good 50 to 75 photos that I was always fond of. From there, it was a long and arduous task going, although I've shot 2 million, I actually went through about 600,000 to go to this, to bring it down to the 250. Some of those were in digital form, some were still in slide or negative or print form. But it was a long way to go. It was more than a year in the editing. And there were a lot of good images that fell by the wayside as we went along.
Were you the sole person that made these decisions, or do you have a team of people that you'd worked with over the last number of years that kind of helped you kind of sift through what should be the 246 in the book?
That's a good question, because when I started this project with the Hockey News guys, I had said, you know what, I'm going to throw out, let's say, around 100 images that have to be in the book. And then I'll put together a digital light box of maybe another 500, and we'll all talk about it, and we'll decide where to go from there. And then as the project went on, and I started adding more to that 100, I said, well, it's my project. It shows off what I think is my best work. And I basically got it up to the 250, 270 images, and then pared it down from there myself. I thought it was important that the book be completely my vision. At least that's how it all panned out. It just seemed that if there was a joint committee deciding on things at some point, I wouldn't be happy with a couple of the selections.
The book is Hockey's Greatest Photos, the Bruce Bennett Collection. Bruce Bennett joins us now. He's now verified on Twitter. Congratulations on that, @Bruce_Bennett as well.
Yeah. Hey, my life has been validated as well right now. So,
the forwards of the book are written by Wayne Gretzky and Martin Brodeur, the greatest hockey player and arguably the greatest goaltender ever. Talk about the relationship you had specifically with those two and maybe some other players specifically on the Islanders that you really became close to throughout your career.
Well, Gretzky and I go way back. I've said our careers were somewhat parallel in the amount of years that we've been in the business. And just through the years, we became familiar with each other. I would photograph him on many occasions. I went with Gretzky on the Gretzky and Friends Tour of Europe during the lockout in 94. And he's had me to his fantasy camp over the last 10 years, where we've come even closer. So it was just a natural, when you talk about hockey, Wayne Gretzky is the first name that comes up. So that was just a natural to have him in the book. As the project went along and the publisher decided to reprint the book in the French language for Quebec and French-speaking Canada, they requested not only a different cover for that version, but a French-Canadian athlete, a hockey player. And the obvious was Martin Brodeur. He has a long history of photography. His father, Denny, was team photographer for the Montreal Canadiens for many years, and just a terrific, terrific guy, a terrific photographer. And I was friendly with him through the years, often got together either in Montreal or when he would come visit his son, Martin, down at New Jersey Devils games. And he brought a perspective to the foreword that he wrote at the start of the book that was very different than Wayne's. And it was a guy who grew up with a father who was a photographer who would drag him along to photo shoots with famous Montreal Canadian players. So the combination of having both those guys doing the forwards actually in the French version and the English version, I was really, really happy about that part of the book.
And what about Islander players? I mean, you spent so much time at the Nassau Coliseum, and it was part, obviously, of and capturing the four straight Stanley Cup. Out of those players, the guys whose banners hang in the Raptors, or maybe Al Arbor or some others, what kind of relationships did you have with the Islander players throughout those years, being there so often?
You know, the way I was brought up in this industry was that you don't get too close to the players. The expression I used to use was if a player clubbed another player as if he was a baby seal, I would want to be able to publish those photos.
Mm-hmm.
You need a complete sense of editorial autonomy so that you can do your job. Through the years, having separate shoots, private shoots with Mike Bossy and Brian Trottier and Billy Smith and Denny Potvin, actually photographing Denny Potvin's wedding, things like that, you have some sort of closeness with the players, and they recognize you, and you pass small talk back and forth, but really haven't, really don't socialize with players, not only because of the editorial integrity part of the job, but also now, the age difference is and even in Islander heydays, there was an age difference between myself and most of the players.
Joe Bono, Isles Blog Podcast, talking with Getty Images' Bruce Bennett. Of course, the book is Hockey's Greatest Photos, the Bruce Bennett Collection, available now, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you can find books. One more question before I want to get into some specific photos, Islander-related photos. You chose the 18-year-old Wayne Gretzky photo for the cover. Was that always the image you had slated for the cover? Was it after Wayne agreed to do the forward? I mean, it's a beautiful image, and it's striking. Was that the one you always kind of had your eye on when it came to what the cover of the book would be?
Another difficult choice, and that one I did defer to the guys at the Hockey News on what the cover image should be. We talked about action photos. We talked about doing a composite of many images on the cover, but we didn't think it would have the impact of the same impact as having one striking image on the cover. Striking, I just took your word, and I will be using it again in every other interview. It's different. Sure. I, you know what? Now that I think about it, one of the photos we had as one of the original covers was a photograph from the rafters of Henrik Lundqvist making a save. And the puck is in midair, and the publisher loved the photograph, but it wasn't as sharp as some of the other hockey images. So he pulled away from that photo. And this one just, I think my eye just kept coming back to this one. It just laid out real well. The art director just thought it had a good feel to it. So we're going to live with it, see what happens.
Let's move on to some specific Islander photos that are in the book. And I'll start with the back cover, since we just talked about the cover of the book, because the back cover is from last season. It's the Islanders at center ice doing the yes, yes, yes chant. And I'm guessing it's some kind of remote-operated camera, which I'm guessing was in the bottom of the Nassau Coliseum scoreboard?
Yes, yeah. I tried the shot a couple of times, once many, many years ago, and then twice this past season. So it really took me three tries to get it right. You know, part of the right part is the Islanders had to win the game and then stand on the logo and celebrate. So this past season when I tried it the first time, they didn't end up on the logo, and then this time they did. It was a combination of many things. It was, you know, bringing down the scoreboard and kind of guessing that when the scoreboard would go back up that you'd have the ice framed out correctly. We just did a little bookend photograph as well. We did a photo on the Barclays scoreboard for their opening night just this past week. And that one I see is, you know, is making the rounds all across the internet as well. It's a little bit off-center, and I think Islander fans who've gone to Barclays know why my image at Barclays Center is going to be just a tad skewed off to one side. But for me, it was a nice bookend. Last game in the old building, first game in the new building.
So, Bruce, one of the more recognizable photos for Islander fans is Bobby Nystrom after scoring the Stanley Cup winner in overtime in 1980. Take me through that shot. Where was your positioning around the rink? And what do you remember from that play? And, you know, what was the process? Because obviously it's not the digital era, so you're not knowing right away that you got that photo. What was your reaction when you finally got that developed, that you knew you had something special?
Well, very special moment, obviously, for Islander fans. Very special moment for myself growing up on Long Island. My photo position was actually right alongside the penalty boxes back in the days where you were wide open at center ice and you could get hit from any angle, whether it was pucks, sticks, players. But it was the best position in professional sports. You felt like you were part of the game. There was nothing to encumber you from shooting photographs of any place on the ice. Center ice, looking down to my right, saw the play develop, but really, you know, you're shooting and you're not really thinking that that's going to be the play. You're just trying to maintain your focus and your composure so that, you know, you can shoot whatever unfolds. In that moment, you know, he scored. Shot from the bench, shot from my photo position, and then you jump over the boards and you follow and, you know, photograph straight through the cup presentation. So back in those days, you really don't know. I mean, it's not a digital camera. It's 36 frames of black and white film, and you're cranking through it pretty quickly and just thinking about reloading and being ready for the next guy to carry the Stanley Cup around the ice. And I guess it was either later that night, if memory serves me correctly, probably went back to the lab right afterwards and processed the black and white film. I said, okay, well, there's the winner right there. And that is one of my favorite photos of all time. It just captured the moment with the fans and just the whole way that the frame laid out was as close to perfect as you can get.
Another photo Islander fans will be very familiar with, of course, is Mike Bossy with the stick on fire. You have little snippets in the book that talk about some of the backstory, and you say that Mike was good about it, but where did the idea originate from? Was that yours or someone else's? And I believe there were alarms set off in the Nassau Coliseum that day.
Yes, there were. And, I had a lot of give and take back and forth with the guys at the Hockey News through the years. I worked with many editors up there. And I'm not, at this point, I don't remember exactly who the editor was back in 1980. I'm sure we talked about, well, he's on fire, and, you know, how do we illustrate that? How do we bring that to a Hockey News cover? And actually, it's one of the few covers that I have in my office, October 24, 1980. I'm looking at the image right now. Practiced at home, basically. Took a wooden stick and stapled a piece of cotton onto the edge of the stick and dipped it in kerosene. As I remember, I practiced this in the house, not outside, so that was probably the first mistake. I tried it once, probably. I don't even think we tried it twice. Tried it once and said, okay, this will work, and got it to Nassau Coliseum, and Mike Bossy was great about it. He said, okay, we'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens. My assistant, Brian Winkler, rigged up the lighting equipment and lit the stick on fire, because we knew from the experiment we did back at home, we knew that, you know, that was going to light up and go pretty fast. So we shot, got off about 6 or 8 frames, as I remember, and then started hearing the whir of fire detectors going off. And it was done in a heartbeat. I mean, it was done so fast. And that's another one of those things where it was film days, and you really don't know until that material gets processed exactly what it's going to look like. But that's another image a lot of fans love and a lot of fans talk about through the years.
A couple more questions on Islander-related photos. There's a picture of a full-geared but unmasked Billy Smith in a park or in a field in Woodbury. That one does not have kind of the backstory of it. What is the story behind that photo of a very usually intense Billy Smith, but in this very serene type setting?
Yes, very pensive Billy Smith.
Yes.
Very pensive, something that no one really sees too often. It was for a publication called Inside Sports that was around for many years, actually, and they had commissioned me to do a day in the life of Billy Smith and basically follow him around for the day. We talked about the article talked about him being a Long Islander and being happy on Long Island and, tinkering with his cars. And, you know, I just followed him throughout the day and then came up with this idea, you know, for a nice 2-page spread, the opening spread, we'd like you in full gear. We'll find a lake and had a little place off Jericho Turnpike in Woodbury by an office building. And he was game for it. He was game for it. And it came out to be a really, really unusual image, one that I was very happy with because for years, as a team photographer with the Islanders and the Rangers, the Devils, the Flyers, I had always said to those public relations directors, what I really want to do with players is put them in complete uniform and bring them to places in your city. And it's very rare that you can get a public relations person to even go to a player with that idea. So this was one there. It was just directly between myself and Billy Smith, and he was game. He was up for anything.
Hockey's Greatest Photos, the Bruce Bennett Collection. Bruce Bennett is our guest for a few more minutes on the Isles Blog Podcast. Really pleasantly surprised to see the Santa Claus night at the Coliseum made the cut. Was it just the bizarreness of that photo to have all these hockey fans dressed up in Santa costumes on ice that made it difficult to resist putting it in the book?
Yeah, I don't think my image of it was really great. It's just, it's one of those moments that Islander fans, well, it's part of Islander fan lore, what happened that night with the crazy VP of marketing, Tim Beach, at the Islanders coming up with this scheme to let anyone dressed as Santa Claus come into the game for free, and then all those Santas on the ice, and then the Ranger fan Santas unveiled that they had Ranger uniforms on underneath the Santa Claus outfits. And as they say, panic ensued, and it was just such a bizarre scene. I had to throw one of those in the book.
And then my last question regarding Islander stuff is actually on the new black jerseys. So obviously you did the photo shoot with John Tavares for the black jerseys being unveiled. How was when John Tavares walked out with them? Was that the first time you had seen them, or you kind of got a little bit of a glimpse prior to doing the photo shoot that day, and then the photos everyone would see the next morning of the new third black jerseys with the Islanders moved to Brooklyn?
Well, I was informed by the Islanders that would be the first time I would see it. And when I mentioned to some super fan that I was going on this super secret shoot. He goes, "Oh, I already saw that jersey. It's up online." So, so you know, everything's online. We all know that. I quickly hunted through the internet, and I had a glimpse from someone's secret camera had a picture of the jersey. So that was my first view of it. But seeing the complete, you know, soup to nuts skates through helmet, it was pretty impressive. Look, I go back a long way with the Islanders and a long way living on Long Island. And, you know, the original jersey is the original jersey. And I really don't have a problem with mixing it up a little bit. I always have my own opinions with these jerseys, what they could do that would be visually better. But I think that jersey will definitely grow on the people of Brooklyn. Maybe not the people of Nassau and Suffolk County, but I think the Brooklyn people will adopt it pretty quickly.
Oh, and one more Islander note. This might embarrass myself, but there's a picture of John Candy in the book with a Cabbage Patch doll, which I believe was the Cabbage Patch doll I had growing up. that was nice reminiscing.
You know, if I had a picture of you with your Cabbage Patch doll, I probably would have thrown that in the book. Who knew?
A couple more questions with Bruce Bennett. You know, we live in a world now where everyone's phone is a camera. Everyone thinks they're a photographer to some extent. So, you know, what is your advice to young photographers that might want to try to distinguish themselves in the sports photography business? You know, you have the story in the book that in 1974, you sent black and white photos to an editor. You start getting some press passes, and then your career kind of started from there. If someone wants to do what you do now, how do they go about doing it?
Listen, Joe, I don't need any more competition, so everybody just stay at home, just keep buying books and looking at the photos online. It's obviously a tough, very, very tough profession to get into. I get a lot of portfolios to look at weekly from photographers who are shooting. And, you know, it's not that there isn't any place for young and up-and-coming photographers. The advice really is to think outside the box, look for different angles, look for something different, hone your skills on, you know, colleges, high schools, even kids' hockey, and try to put together some images with the correct equipment, meaning iPhone photographers can get lost, get yourself some decent equipment and just visualize things. Try to visualize things a little bit differently. Hockey photographers, sports photographers, there are thousands and thousands out there, some with years and years of experience who are fighting for work. The only way you're going to stand out is by producing something that's different than the other photographers.
And Bruce, you know, you're known as, you know, the best in the business when it comes to hockey photography, and that's how you started over at the Hockey News back in the early 1970s. But I'm just curious, was that your intention the whole time to do hockey? Or was it just the first job that you got, the first time you were able to get credentials to see professional events? Or, you know, was this hockey craze or love affair with the game always there, or it just kind of happened that way?
Always a hockey fan. Followed a few of the other sports, but not all that closely growing up. Played hockey as a kid. Opportunity was really there for me at a preseason. I'm sorry, from the rafters at Nassau. the rafters at Madison Square Garden. Shot some pictures of a game from up there, and then shot some pictures at an Islander game. Snuck down into a photo box and took some pictures. Naive 18-year-old kid, I sent him to the Hockey News, and they said, "Sure, we'll pay you for some photos." And that's really how it all started. And through the years, I dabbled in a few of the other sports, but hockey is what I knew best, and hockey was definitely the place that I belonged, as it turned out.
Well, we're recording this interview on Columbus Day, but if you watch enough commercials, you know Christmas time is around the corner, so big recommendation to hockey fans, diehard hockey fans, or Islander fans, or really just anyone who's a fan of the sport. This would be a great Christmas gift, a great Father's Day gift if you don't get it during the season and want to get it later. It's Hockey's Greatest Photos, the Bruce Bennett Collection. Bruce, really, congratulations on the book. 40 years plus worth of work, 5,000 games, 246 photos. It is striking, especially that cover with Wayne Gretzky, and we really appreciate you giving us some time here today.
Well, it's great being with you, Joe. Everybody have a great time at the hockey game today and through this season. I think we're looking at having a great season coming up.
You've been listening to the Isles Blog Podcast. Visit nyislesblog.com for an archive of the show or subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. Follow the team on Twitter at Isles Blog and send comments to nyislesblog@gmail.com.